Mark chapter 4. Well, we've been on a long road talking about the importance of the Word of God, and as far as I can tell, this is our last lesson along that line, and we're going to talk about the importance of names next week, I believe. But I wanted to cover, before we go on to other things, the parable of the sower. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's basically the same with a few changes which we have pointed out to you. Now, the sower says, sows the Word of God. That's in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus gives this in verse 3 through 8 as a parable. A parable is a natural illustration of a spiritual truth. It's not like when Jesus says there was a certain, he says there was a certain man or there was a certain incident, then that actually happened. He's repeating to you an incident. But this is a parable, and he labels it as a parable. And they ask him, why are you telling that in parables? Now, there are several theories, and that's all the artist theories, is why Jesus used parables. But one that I found most interesting was the pastor that said he knew they wouldn't understand the spiritual truth and he knew they would remember the parable. And over time, the parable and the meaning of the parable will become clear to them. If you keep that in mind and you read this chapter, you'll find that that is a possibility. Well, Jesus gives the parable and they ask for the meaning of the parable. And he said the sower sows the Word of God, and he gives four people and four examples. Now in verse 15, he said, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. The word is sown by the wayside. The wayside is a road or hard place. Now Wayne's dad was a farmer. And in the middle of the field is where the tractors and the trucks came and went and loaded and unloaded. And that's a very hard ground. You wouldn't put seed there. It won't come up there. Now it says, it bothered me. It says Satan came and just stole it. And it says it was sown in their heart. And the minute it was sown, Satan took it away. That's verse 15. The word is sown by the wayside, by the road, in the hard place. And when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Now that bothered me for years. I said, how in the world did he just come and just snatch the word? Well, the truth is found in, I'll read it to you, in Luke's account. I think that's chapter 13. And when Jesus gave this parable, I actually don't know, maybe it's chapter 8 and it's Matthew 13. Okay, that would be better. I found out years ago I don't have to be perfect. A sower, and listen to this, went out to sow the word, went out to sow the seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and it was trodden down. That's your key to why this didn't work. Trodden down meant it was walked on, stepped on, and ignored. Now, you can go out and check any seed that fell on the pathway that goes through Cumbie's field, and you'll find out it's not doing anything because the ground's too hard. Mm-hmm. Now, Wayne's dad's been gone a long time, so there's nobody out there but weeds anymore. But that's the key as to why it didn't come up, because they ignored it. It was trodden down. They walked on it. Now, if you saw a piece of paper on your floor, you'd look and say, oh, my goodness, that's my electric bill, and you'd pick it up because that's a piece of paper that you need. But the word that came to them, they walked right on it. They walked right over it. They turned completely loose of it. They were disinterested. They were ignorant of it, and they didn't follow through. And that's why this seed, the seed is the word. It's whatever word that you needed that God began to sow in your heart. For us, it's healing word. Healing word, and it was because of their indifference. You know, if your phone rings and rings and you look and see, oh, it's Aunt Myrtle, you're not going to answer her today. We don't have time for you. Do you have one of those relatives? You don't have time. You have to have time to talk to them when they call. And you think, oh, I don't have time. Well, one lady calls and she just wants to tell me her story, and I'm a good listener. But if I don't have time to listen 30 minutes, I'm not answering. Now, I will call you back. Do not despair. I'm very faithful. I called her back after a while. When I've got 30 or 40 minutes, because I was going to take that long for her to tell her entire story, you know. And I'm glad to hear her story, but she's not after a solution. She's after a listening ear, and that makes a tremendous difference to how long I'm going to listen. How long I'm going to listen. So if Satan came because the seed was being ignored. The word was being ignored. It was not being followed up on. So it didn't come up. It was on hard ground. The heart was hard. You see that? Well, that won't work. In verse 16, these are they by the wayside on stony ground. Now, if we had a field full of rocks, you wouldn't plant your seed on the rocks. Even if the rocks are covered with a small amount of dirt, you wouldn't plant your seed there. It may come up, but it's not going to last, because it has to have time. The word has to have time to be rooted and grounded in your heart. So it says it was thrown on stony ground, and when they have heard the word, immediately they received, they were so glad to hear it. Do you know those people? I've been doing teaching for almost 45, 46 years, 47. And there are people that come and they're so excited to be here, and they're coming every week, and the Lord told them to come, and you never see them again. That's what this is talking about. This is a person that was excited about it, was glad to hear the word wherever they heard it from, and then they disappeared. It didn't take root. They didn't follow through. We can't let anything overwhelm the word, because it is through the word that faith comes. And it is through faith that healing comes. Now, healing can come by gift, where God just does what God just does because he wants to, because he sees the need. There was a man, he was an alcoholic, and the people he worked with, this is a true story, they begged him and begged him to go to lunch with them. He knows them, they're religious people. He's not interested in lunch. But when they hassled him for so long, he decided if he went to lunch one time, they would see he's definitely not interested, and they would go away. That was his goal. Well, he went to lunch and got born again. And he didn't realize it, but two or three weeks later, his wife, who was also an alcoholic, said, "How come you're not drinking with me anymore?" And he said, "I'm not drinking, am I? I don't want to drink anymore." She said, "Well, would they help me?" And so he called them. They laid hands on her. There wasn't a faith in either one of them. It wasn't healing by faith. It was healing because God gifted them. And God gives gifts of healings. But you can't have faith for a gift. It's like if you invite me to your birthday party or to your open house, you cannot put out all the faith you want, but you cannot orchestrate whether or not I'm actually coming with a gift. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. And so when God gives a gift, it's because he sees. Now, let me show you where that happened in John chapter 5, I believe it is. Verse 5, a certain man had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to suffer. And Jesus came along, verse 6, and said, "Will you be made whole?" Now, he was sitting by the pool, and the first one in the pool got healed. So he knows he can never, in his condition, be the first one in the pool. So he just reports to Jesus, "You know, that'll never happen to me. I'll never be healed. I can't get in the pool." There isn't any faith in here. There's no faith at all in here. And Jesus said, "Well, be healed." Well, that wasn't faith. That was a gift. You can read this whole chapter. That was a gift. And verse 13, he that was healed knew not who it was. They said, "Who healed you?" When they saw him after 38 years walking around, they're curious why he's on his feet. And they said, "Well, who healed you and told you to take up your bed and walk?" That's in verse 12. And verse 13, he said, he didn't know who it was. He didn't know it was Jesus. This is not faith in the covenant. This is not faith in the power of God. This is not faith in what he had seen Jesus do. It's simply Jesus came, and because he did what the Father commanded him, he brought healing to the man, and the man didn't know who it was or how it happened. That's a gift. God gave gift to this alcoholic couple, and I'll tell you what I know happened. Over time, they won every relative they had. They had a very sinner family to the Lord, over 100. One by one, they won. I suppose, and God didn't say this anywhere, but I suppose God knew that would happen. You get these two old boys in, this couple, and they will take a family. And they did. God knows where to send gifts. Now, in general, we have faith for gifts. We believe in gifts. We believe in gifts of healing. But we're not ordering them specifically for somebody. You can't pray, "God, send her the gift of healing," because you don't have an ounce of faith. That's not your call. It just isn't your call. But to believe for gifts, I always say, "Lord, send them somewhere, send them anywhere, send them a lot of places, send them to the churches." It was Catherine Kuhlman's functioning in gifts that brought people by masses into the kingdom. When they saw the power of God working, they believed for the gift. She There were people healed. You can read her story. It's in a book. People would come in buses and be healed before they got to the auditorium. Just got on the bus, got off the bus healed. Because this was God's call. God calls gifts, but he calls the body of Christ to call for them. Not specifically, but in general. We want a gift. We want the gifts to function. We want signs and wonders to be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. That's in Acts chapter 4. And so that's what you see as gift. But what you see over here when the sower sows the word is we hold on to the word, we latch on to the word, we have faith in the word, and the word works. The word brings faith, and faith brings healing. Now, this first person was totally indifferent and ignored the word. Satan took the word immediately. Nobody's guarding it. Nobody's watching it. And he took the word. Now, the second person, where it was sown on stony ground, they loved what they heard. It says they received it with gladness. They were really glad to hear about Jesus, to hear about healing. But when somebody persecuted them, it says, they were offended. In other words, their friends and neighbors put, you're doing what? You're going to church. One lady that was healed, totally healed, this is true too, she was out weeding her flower bed by the sidewalk. Do you remember houses used to be on a big sidewalk and they had little sidewalks up to the front door? You remember that? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where she was. And her neighbor saw her sitting there and she thought, oh, isn't that precious? She wants some sunshine. Her daughters brought her out and set her on the sidewalk to weed. And then she got up and walked in the house. And the neighbor said, hold it. Hold it. And she rushed right over, knocked on the door, and she said, how are you walking? How are you walking? Well, see, that gift, that lady's healing brought the neighbor's healing, because the neighbor the next night, that night, she's down to the auditorium where this preacher was preaching and was also healed. That's the purpose of the gifts a lot, is they spread and they cause faith to arise. They cause faith to arise. Now, this person gave up. It says persecution rise for the word's sake. People criticized him. I read a lot of different translations of these parables. Quite interesting. When people came against him, he gave up. He couldn't take contrary voices. Well, it don't matter what you say about me, you won't cause me to give up. I'm not backing up. I know in whom I have believed and persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, and I'm not backing up. You're not going to pressure me into backing up. But when he was new, so he doesn't have enough foundation in the word. He doesn't know enough word. And he's walking on the word, the few words that he received when he came into the kingdom, the word that was sown on stony ground, his heart being the stony ground, and he received that word, and he began to function in that word, and he was so glad about that word. And then when people criticized him, said when opposition came, people talked about him, some translators say, he said, forget it. And he gave up. Now, we have some responsibility to track those people down and to help them. We don't just say, well, they were here. We don't know what happened to them. No, we're going to go find them. And we're going to say, you come and sit with me. There was a gentleman who was covered from head to toe with tattoos. And though he was interested in church, he didn't figure he'd be received, and so he wouldn't come. Well, one of our people befriended him, talked to him, and offered to sit with him and pick him up and do everything they could for him. And it is our responsibility to open the way for them to receive the Savior, to receive healing power. We've had people here that didn't know anything about healing, but they were told I would pray for them, and they came. Well, we receive them on any level, but once we receive them, we help them grow, help them understand. And I don't know if this man had any labors or not, but he just gave up. He was immature. The first man was disinterested. The second man, this man, was just immature, and he didn't follow through, and it was too hard. And people talked about him. There was a gentleman who came to Christ. He was alcoholic, serious alcoholic, and he walked with Christ for a number of years. I visited his wife. He was working with his wife and their children in their home. And next thing I know, I didn't see him anywhere. And I looked for him, and he's back in the bar. So he didn't hang in there. Well, as much as I can't make you hang in there, I can be available to you, to help you hold steady, to teach you and show you and let you know you come right and sit by me. You see, I'm responsible to what I know. I am not responsible for what you know. That's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know. Why haven't I used to use this example? Now I have a fine Christian beautician, but I used to have one that didn't know the Lord, and I'd say, why haven't you talked to my beautician about the Lord and won her to the Lord and gotten her in church? And they'd always say, well, who was it? That's why you hadn't done it. You didn't know her. I knew her. That's my job, because I know her. You see that, don't you? Now we have two people. The one on hard ground. You come to the house and I'll show you. We'll walk out the field. I think it's covered with trees and weeds now because Wayne's dad's been gone a long time. The garden's shut down. It's a lot of work, by the way. Ask the farmer's helper there. The kids picked the strawberries before they went to elementary school. And I'm not talking about a row of strawberries. I'm talking about a field of strawberries. Well, here's the third person. First person, disinterested, ignored the word. The second person, immature, under pressure, gave up. The third person, sown among thorns, verse 18, and the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, came and choked the word. Do you say it became unfruitful? So it was bearing fruit to a degree. It was working until they turned loose of the word and turned to the world. It's very easy, happens frequently. People who come from the world tend to go back to the world. So it's our responsibility. One fellow that really did come from the world and really stayed out of the world, but he got concerned. Most people that go back to their environment lose what they gained. But this old boy didn't. And it was reported, he went into the hotel where all his friends were drinking. He climbed up on the bar, stood up on the bar and preached. And he did that frequently. He didn't turn loose of what he got. He wasn't put under any pressure. He didn't go back to the world, the flesh and the devil. See, that's where they came from. They can't go back there and survive. They can't go back there and maintain. And that's what happened. One that was indifferent and disinterested, one that was immature, and this one that got distracted by the world, totally distracted and back to what the world and what it was. God is very good. It's very, very interesting. We were on vacation, probably in North Carolina. That's where we always went, to a cabin there that we had access to. And we ran into this fella. This same fella, you know, the back to the world fella, we ran into him in downtown, and we recognized him and we talked to him. Do you suppose that just happened to be, or that was God? You know, and I try to be nice, but what I want to say is, where in the world have you been? I knew where he'd been, back to the bar, you see. And when I see you on Facebook and you're half drunk at the Olive Garden, I'm going to know it's you. You said that didn't happen. Uh-huh. It did. And it wasn't on Facebook. I saw it. I was standing there. I went for my soup and salad, and there you were. Not any here. We're going to capture these people. The people that ignore the word, the people that are immature and don't hold fast to the word because they don't have understanding, the people that have interest in the world that want to go back to the world, we're going to do our part. We're missionaries. That's our mission field. See, I've been to Africa and I've been to Germany and I've been to Russia a number of times. I've been to Peru. But you may not get to go into all the world like we did. God graced us to go into all the world. But you have a world on your street. And what we do, we drive down those streets, and when we go by those streets, there's one house that's a rental. It's in despicable condition, and it's empty right now. And when we go by there, we stretch our hand. We say, Father, in the name of Jesus, they repair this rental. And then we say, everybody on this street, here's the gospel message. Everybody, by TV, by friend, foe, we don't care. But everybody on this street has hearing of the gospel message. And sometimes we call and we say, okay, Lord, we're driving down Fish Hatchery, Hardin-Cumby, Woodland, Canal. We name all those streets and said, all of those streets are hearing the gospel. Those people from TV or from friends or from work acquaintances, they are hearing. That's the easiest mission field in the world. You don't have to go in person. You got that. Because we don't want them to drop out. Now, that includes me. I don't want to get discouraged and drop out. I'm not likely to go back to the bar. I've never been there. A lot of things I would not be tempted with. But I don't want to be discouraged. I mean, it's been a long time, and my knee still hurts. You know, I don't have any knee problems. That's why I tell you about my knee, because I can't tell you about my real problems. I don't want to mess up what God is doing. And He's working mightily in me.
Amen. Yes.
I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to say, my knee is killing me. Wayne won't let me say that word, killing. He said, would you like to restate that? And I thought, yes, I would like to say that differently. You got to help each other, especially when there's pain. Pain tends to be a major distraction. It's not the distraction of the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, or the lust of other things, but it is a great distraction when you're in pain. Now, here's the person, verse 20, that was successful. This is what I want you to see. I want you to see what not to do. You can't turn loose of the word. You can't ignore the word. You can't go back to the environment you were in. Most people that come out of an environment like that are not strong enough to go back. You don't need to go back. Send me. The bar wouldn't tempt me. Or Wayne. We cleaned out Mother's house. Daddy was gone. Mother died first and Daddy was gone. And we cleaned out her house. We never had alcohol in our heart. We are alcohol proof. Nobody drinks. Nobody's ever drunk. Christians don't drink. I knew that from the time I was 3. And so we cleaned out Mother's house. And they had these cute little glasses. I don't know. I've never seen them before. They were in Mother's upper cabinet. And I brought them home, put them in my cabinet. I thought, well, I don't want to get rid of those. I don't know what those are. So I'm going to serve them with Jell-O or pudding or something like that. And that's what I did. So we had company, and I said, I'll just put this appetizer in these cute little glasses. And so we did that. And my friend who came from the bar said, what are you doing with champagne glasses? I said, are those champagne glasses? I figure my mother got them from my grandmother's house. I don't know where they came from, but nobody in our family, unless my grandfather drank when he got born again, he was in his 60s. Nobody ever drinks any alcoholic beverage, never seen in anybody's home. And why we had champagne glasses, I don't know. But at my house, they work real well for pudding and Jell-O and other things. And if that's what you want with them, you might get them when I'm gone. But unless Suzanne wants them for Jell-O.
I love Jell-O.
Jell-O's her favorite thing. You have to know that. You sow on good ground, and they hear the word, and they receive the word. And in Mark it says, they receive the word. In other words, I'm listening, I got ears to hear. And I'm hearing what God had to say. I'm hearing what you told me that God was saying, because I don't know the word. I don't even know where to find the books of the Bible. If you gave me a Bible, I wouldn't know where to find anything. Most of these people are totally ignorant. But said, they received the word. They heard it, they received it, and it brought forth fruit. Now, the people that got distracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil says, it became unfruitful. So the gospel that they had originally heard was growing. It was producing fruit in their life when they turned loose of it to go back to the world. And then the fruit. You know, you can't ignore, you know that. We have dry spells in Florida. You ignore your bushes, and they don't even have to be fruit trees. Just any kind of bush, they're eventually going to be offended. Have you noticed that? Has your grass been offended? Every winter, because we're very clever people, we sow winter rye. And in the coldest, driest winter, our grass is green, green. It is so, everybody comes by and says, oh, your lawn is so beautiful. And they're concerned because it's not the season where lawns would be beautiful, even if yours is never beautiful. There is a season where they could be beautiful. You understand that. Well, it's because we put out winter rye. And it costs a little money. But the pleasure you get from sitting on the porch and seeing that the grass is green, 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 green is so exciting. I thought, look at how beautiful. It's next to this tree that goes. You You've got to tend to the Word. That's the first thing, see. You can't ignore the Word. If you ignore the Word, then faith doesn't come. If you ignore the Word, then faith doesn't stay anchored. You want your faith to come. You want it to be anchored. You want your heart to constantly say, by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. I sent my Word and heal you. This weapon formed against you is not going to prosper. I said, oh, I thank you. And what helps me, and I thought of it, I haven't done this in years, but I thought of it the other day. I was listening to this man minister on TV, and it was March the 1st. And he said, on March the 1st, and I thought, I knew that years ago, but I'd forgotten it. I began to say, on March the 1st, this was ministered, and it's now working mightily in my body. And every time I think about it, I said, no. Every time the pain goes, I say, no, on March the 1st, March the 1st, this was ministered, and it's now working mightily in my body. And I hold fast to that. That's when my, okay, I don't, do you sense anything? Well, you don't have to sense anything. It's a fact of the Scripture. God has spoken. And if your body doesn't know that, you keep telling it. I said, March the 1st, this man ministered along this line, and I stepped in by faith to, just go stand in front of your TV. I mean, who's watching? You know, we're so afraid to be foolish. A foolish healing's legitimate, isn't it? It is. So every time I think about it, I say, on March the 1st, this man called for everybody that had this condition. It was a type of conditions. And I said, that's me, Lord. And I raised my hands to the TV. Yeah. And every time I think about it, I say, on March the 1st, on March the 1st, see, I'm putting the confession in my mouth. I'm refusing to turn loose of what God has done. It is already done in my body, and my body has to respond. And it is my faith that keeps my body online, that keeps my body responding. Now, do you have, does your refrigerator have a water button? Okay, we don't ever use our water button. Never, never do I want water from my refrigerator. I'm sorry. You use yours. I don't like mine. Well, when people come, they use the water button. And then I go and mash for the ice button, and the water comes on instead of the ice. Very discouraging. And then you've got water in the floor. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to try to remember. Before you mash the ice button, and so-and-so's been here, she always mashes the water button, I'm going to check the water first. Because I know that's what she does. That's what she does. That's what she does. I'm going to check. I forgot. You can't turn loose of the Word. You can't turn loose of the Word, because then you turn loose of your healing. God is working. Now, last week we did the past tense of the Word. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the law, curse of the law. Sickness is a curse of the law. It's in Deuteronomy 28. And it's in the past tense. He hath redeemed us. It's been done. Well, my body may say it's not been done, but God said it has been done. Now, we listened to this clip from this gentleman whose daughter, before she was born, had a some kind of cyst in the brain that was inoperable that would affect her life, affect her ability to walk, her ability to think, and would cause her soon death. And so he said he got a hold of the ultrasound, and he opened Isaiah 53, and you heard him, and he put that ultrasound on Isaiah 53, and he said to his wife, whose report are we going to believe? See, I can't let my body tell me God's a liar.
Amen.
That's what you do when you turn loose. You just let your body tell you that God lied to you, because you're sick. You can tell. No, I'm healed. God said so. It says, by 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. I've got to turn loose of the Word. Now, Mark says you receive the Word. In other words, I'm listening. And I may have to hear it again and again. It may take a while. One lady came to me. She said, I brought my friend. She wants to be born again. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do it. I said, that's fine. Sit down. I'll help you. I'll tell you how to do that. But over time, you need to grow up. You need to learn some things. You need to advance in some things. You don't just need to stay ignorant and say, well, somebody on the staff will help me. You need to begin to study and to read along that line so that God can use you, so that I'm more available to Him and more knowledgeable through the Word this year than I was last year. Now, when I came into Pentecost, I was raised in church, been in church since church nurseries. I knew John 3:16 and the Roman Road to Salvation. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God commended his love towards us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. Whosoever believes in his heart and confesses that Jesus as Lord is saved. That's the Roman road. We memorized all that. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything else. Knew very little. Well, I knew all the Bible stories because we were schooled in the Bible stories. I didn't have any idea what they meant. They weren't significant to me. They were just stories of people that lived with God, and this is what happened to them. And so I knew that. And somebody wanted to play Bible trivia with me, and you make a mistake, I will beat you. That was yesterday, not today. And so I got, first question, who was Adam's wife? I happen to know that. I got easy questions. And then they were shouting. They were saying, yay, she won't know this. She won't know this. She won't know this. You've got to know more than the facts. You've got to know what undergirds the facts. So the question was, who was Samuel's father? Do you happen to know that? I do. Elkanah, Elkanah. And they were so upset with me. Well, I said, I'm sorry. I've been in Sunday school all my life, and we memorized all that. Now, I don't know what the significance was and what Samuel, you know, I can tell you what he did, that he heard the voice of God and went to the prophet and thought the prophet thought, said, I didn't call you. You know, I can tell the stories, but they weren't significant to me. They weren't a part of my heart. The only thing I had in my heart was John 3:16 and the Roman road of salvation. So when they asked me to teach, and the Lord dealt with me, someone's going to ask me to teach, and I should do it. The reason he dealt with me, because he knows they're going to ask me to do something I don't know how to do, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say, no, I can't. And so she asked me to teach, and I knew somebody was coming within the next few weeks, and they came and asked me would I sub for them. They had to be somewhere. And so I said I would, and I'm going to do John 3:16, the love of God. That's what I know. God so loved the world. That's what I know. That's what I'm going to do. She said, oh, no, we have a lesson for the day. I went, and she said, it's on divine healing. You teach divine healing. And I said, in all the honesty, do we know that? Does God heal today? Does anybody know that? And she looked at me, and if God hadn't spoken to her as well, she would never have used me. So she gives me the book, chapter 23 and 24. I read the book. I never heard of this man that wrote the book. I don't know if he knows what he's talking about or not. I don't know what he's talking about. So I'm going to say, this man believes this because of this verse of scripture. I'm looping me totally out. I don't know anything. If you don't know anything, you're not a good candidate to be healed except by gift. And you can't order a gift by faith. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, this man knows this, says this, because this is the verse of scripture he stands on. And that's what I'm going to do. So I got up, and the anointing fell on me. Now, I didn't know what anointing was, had no clue, but I know something's happening here. And I taught. My father was a church musician. And I taught, and I sang, and I quoted scripture, and I quoted the words to songs, because I know all those words. And it was magnificent. Nobody was as surprised as I was, because I knew I didn't know anything, but the Spirit carried me. And the lady said to me, that asked me when she heard what I did, she said, you've been teaching for years, haven't you? I said, no, that was the first. And they didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know how to explain it. You see, when you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on your way. When you do His good will, He abides with you still and with all who will trust and obey. Amen. Trust and obey. And if God hadn't spoken to me, I wouldn't have obeyed. I said, no. So later they asked me to do a 5-minute thing for a luncheon. I thought, oh, brother. By then I'd taught a long time. 5 minutes was like 2 sentences. And so I prayed about a long time. And the Lord dealt with me to do something never done before, never done since. Thought I'd do it again sometime, but the Lord never leads in that direction. And I just got up for 5 minutes and quoted the words to the songs that I knew. See, what you don't remember. Is anybody not raised in the hymnal? You don't know your hymns? Huh? Yeah, sort of. Well, I know those words. The purpose of the hymnal is strong in Bible doctrine. The purpose, because the people didn't read. And when they sang the hymns, they were learning doctrine. You see. So when I'm reading, you can go through the hymn book. There's a lot of good songs in there. But when you read and you read the Word, you're holding fast to the Word because the Word's going to bring faith, and through faith healing is going to come to you. And it's going to come to you, and it's working in you the minute you anchor your confession, even though your body says it ain't happening. Now, one gentleman, he'd been sick a long time. He was his own boss. You can read his story. It's a book called Healed of Cancer by Joe Lawson. I think you can still get it on the, not the New Market. It's not out new, but on where you get books that have been discarded, you can still find Joe Lawson, Healed of Cancer. And he was his own boss, and he got so sick he couldn't go to work anymore. And then he got so sick he couldn't stay home. They put him in the hospital, and he's going into a coma. And he knew that, and his wife was there, and he said to her, "Don't you turn loose of me, I am healed." And he went right into that coma. And the Lord gave her a vision, and she saw somebody open a freezer and a little bird fly out. And she held fast to the Word, "He's healed, he's healed." Well, the doctor came in and said, "He will not last the night, he will be dead by morning." And the pastor came in, oh heaven help him. The pastor came in and said, "I will be here in the morning to help you because I know we'll have to make funeral plans." And this precious little lady, see, you have the Word, and the Word brings faith. The Word is the ground that's going to put you over. When you hold out to the Word and you don't get distracted and go back to the world, is anybody in the world? You don't have to admit it. Don't go back there. You don't begin and then quit because it's too hard or because people, your old friends, make fun of you. Has anybody ever been made fun of by their old friends? That's not easy. Or because somebody told you to read. Wayne was military when we got married, and this lady wanted apple pie. She wanted to surprise her husband. She couldn't fix an apple pie. Well, I learned to cook when I was real. I've been cooking since I was 11, 12, 13. And so she's going to sew on Wayne's new stripes, and I'm going to bake the apple pie. We've made that exchange. And her little boy was there. He's about 3. And he'd go to the bottom shelf where the big Bible, the family Bible, sat, and he'd stick his hand out, and he'd say, "Don't touch, don't touch, don't touch." That's the worst thing she could have done to that child. In her mind, the Bible was so sacred, we don't touch it. But if you don't touch it, you don't open it, and don't continue in it, then faith doesn't come. And you have faith, and you have gifts. And when you have faith, you stick with the Word, whatever word that helps you. You don't have to read the Bible through, although you can. One man that used to go here, he's now with the Lord. He read the Bible through in a different translation every year. I met him, introduced myself. He was here off and on visiting from somewhere. And he said, "You know what I'm reading this year?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "This year is the year for the New Jerusalem Bible." He said, "I read a different translation every year." So you have to find out what works for you. What works for me for years was Exodus 23. God will bless your bread and water, take sickness and disease away from you, and the number of your days He will extend and protect. Many days He'll give you. That's what it says. You might like Psalms. See, find your spot. Find what speaks to your heart. And don't ever turn loose. Go there over and over and over again. That same, it can be a verse, it can be a chapter. Suzanne and Wayne and I work together a lot, and she's a very a Bible scholar, and she'll send me a verse that the Lord promotes her to send to me to read, and I always read it because I always find that the Lord really did send it. That's a good spot for me to camp out. Now, if you're going camping and you don't light your fire, if it's cold out, you're going to be cold because you could have lit in the fire, but you didn't. And there's fire, fire, wonder word. There's fire in this Word, but you got to light it. You got to hold fast to it. You got to read. Now, recently the Lord dealt with me about several months back. Go back to some of the things you used to do. And so I got out Christ the Healer by Bosworth. If you need a book and you can't find it, we can find it for you. I went back to Bosworth, Christ the Healer. That's the one I grew up in. That's the one I read over and over again. Hadn't read it in years and years. And the Lord said, "Go back there. Go back there." See, He didn't say that to you. He said that to me. Now, he may use my testimony to speak to you and to prompt you. I don't know that, but I have to find, where can I continually anchor the Word in my life? You cannot turn loose of the Word. You have to, here's what it says, receive it. The other translation says you have to understand it, and then it says you have to keep it. You have to do it. You have to do something. You won't understand what you don't read, and you'll never understand what you don't read, and you'll never be able to do. Deuteronomy 28 says, observe and do. If you haven't observed it, you can't do it. You knew that, right? My mother went back to work. My daddy's business bottomed up, and I was in charge of the house and the children in the afternoon. I'm the oldest. And so I learned. Mother was a switchboard operator, you know, those kind where you plug this in and plug that in. You see on TV, Andy Griffith. You know, that's what Mother did. She was very good at that. And she'd call me, and she'd say, okay, now get the potato peeler and peel the first layer of peeling off the carrots. See, you didn't know that, but if you cook carrots for my mother, that first layer of peeling better be gone. And the lady on TV told that. I heard a lady on the cook on TV say, don't you just throw those carrots in a pot without cleaning them. So I learned. And then she'd hang up. So somebody came in, she's making a call or something, she'd call me back. And I actually learned to cook over the telephone. And all I had to do is obey. All I have to do here is read and obey. Is that amazing? Just read and obey. So, okay. So, well, I can't. That's why the Holy Ghost lives in you, because He can, He will, and He does. Amen. This means, okay, I'm not a morning person. I read in the evening or in the afternoon. Occasionally, I read in the morning. The hardest thing I do all week is get here at 10:30. That is like just after midnight. You know, I don't know why. I'm not a morning person. But by the time I get up, Susanna sent me 3 verses. Because she's a morning person like her daddy's a morning person. See, we're not copycats here. We're following the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to do in you and through you what helps you. And what I do may not be the way that you would do it. And if Christ the Healer doesn't minister to you, I mean, I'd be flabbergasted and surprised. But whatever you need, T.L. Osborne's book is excellent. Dr. Hagen has excellent books out. There are some ministers on TV that do a wonderful job of ministering healing. You can't believe everything they say, but you can believe their healing message. Because you're going to hold fast to the Word. You're going to be the good seed that brings up, that springs up, that springs up. You're not going to be the seed that's distracted and goes back to the world. You're not going to be the seed that doesn't have enough knowledge and gives up and quit. You're not going to be the seed that ignores the Word. See, it's really easy. When I call and you're watching TV, and the next time I talk to you, you're watching TV, and the next time I hear you, you're talking about a TV program, then I know you're not a Word reader. And if you're not a Word reader, then faith doesn't come. And if faith doesn't come, your healing is going to be hampered. You got that. I'm just trying to encourage you to go to the Word.